The Army has just wrapped up its first ever bug bounty. Over the course of a month, white hat hackers found 118 cyber vulnerabilities in Army recruiting systems, including at least one that could have given a cyber adversary access to sensitive DoD networks. Alex Rice is the chief technology officer at HackerOne, the company that ran the Hack the Army challenge. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about lessons learned and about how bug bounties are proving useful throughout the government.
There's really three things from Hack the Pentagon that we improved upon other than simply getting the first program that was being done for the sake of doing these programs. Hack the Pentagon was really a proof of concept to try to establish whether or not these programs made sense in the government space the same way that they do for private industry. And Hack the Army is a clear yes to that question. But then if you look at the things that differed beyond that, the first one that is really interesting is these were done on live production systems that contained mission critical data for the Army's recruitment system, whereas the Hack the Pentagon sites were relatively low risk, mostly static content, and still important, but not the risks just aren't the same for malicious hackers. And the second area that was pretty interesting is we had worked through some of the limitations that we encountered during Hack the Pentagon around participation in the challenge, and the DDS team managed to get this challenge open to not just private citizens, but also all uniformed military personnel and federal civilian employees. And so there were government employees hacking alongside our normal community in this, and that is pretty incredible to see everyone contributing jointly that way. And then finally, one of the most important lessons learned from Hack the Pentagon was the lack of an overarching vulnerability disclosure program for the DoD. Meaning if there were vulnerabilities identified outside of Hack the Pentagon, there was really nothing you could do with that as a private citizen or even an individual working in another component within the military. And so in parallel to Hack the Army, the DoD established their vulnerability disclosure program, which now allows really anyone anywhere to see something, say something in the digital domain.
And you said earlier that the Hack the Army initiative is different in that they were really targeting live production systems with mission critical data. But the entry point to all of those, just like in the Hack the Pentagon initiative, was public facing websites, right? And I think you guys had some instances in which hackers, white hat hackers, were able to get into more sensitive systems through those public facing websites, if I'm understanding things correctly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the particular findings that the Army has talked about publicly was something that technically went beyond the scope of what was within the program, but the researchers recognized that immediately and called it out to the team as a potential pivot point to other internal systems. And so while the core systems that are in scope were the public-facing Army properties, there was a particular vulnerability identified that allowed researchers to chain that with another vulnerability to get access to internal systems that shouldn't have been exposed to the public internet. And that's exactly the type of finding that really shows the value of having human intelligence applied to this problem. When you have multiple vulnerabilities that need to be combined in a particular creative manner, it's the type of finding that automated tooling and traditional scanning technologies just completely miss. It really takes human ingenuity to make that leap of logic for you.
And the case you're talking about in particular really is the way you guys described it in your blog post was a combination of two vulnerabilities. One was on the GoArmy.com website, and the other was on this back-end system that is not supposed to be visible to the public. I don't know how far you can get into the technical details or if there are security restrictions that prevent you from going too deep into this, but can you say a little bit more about that particular exploit that this researcher found?
Yeah, I'm afraid that I don't have the particular details of the internal system, and the researcher doesn't either, since they recognized that it was an internal system and stopped their testing immediately as they should within the rules of the program. And so really the information that we have available is that access to that system was possible. And from what we're able to determine, just the beyond the additional vulnerabilities that were identified there, simple access to that system from the public internet is something that the Army considered a critical issue.
Yeah, and I think an important element of this approach is that you're not waiting until the end of the program to notify the Army that a vulnerability has been found. That basically happens in real time, so that once it's discovered, they can fix it right away, right?
That is one of the most powerful aspects of these programs, is that this group of external researchers or hackers is really an extension of the security team. And they are collaborating and interacting in real time, reporting vulnerabilities, asking questions of the Army remediation team, and having a very active dialogue about what they found, what it could potentially be a risk, what isn't a risk, how far they should go. And that collaboration beyond just the individual vulnerabilities that are found is a huge part of what provides the value here. Security really is an iterative process, and it takes a tremendous amount of trial and error on behalf of the folks participating in it. And so it really only works when you do have that two-way dialogue as part of the program. And so the vulnerabilities are submitted immediately, and even potential vulnerabilities that the researchers aren't sure about but have a question about are submitted immediately, so that the Army can respond as to whether or not their assessments are and their assumptions are correct.
You mentioned this was the first time that government personnel were allowed to participate, and I think you had both civilian feds and uniformed personnel that decided to jump in on this one. I don't think they're eligible for bounties, correct me if I'm wrong, but any key takeaways from having done this for the first time?
Yeah, the takeaway really is something that is a little obvious in hindsight, is that security really is one of those fields that you get better at through practice. There's only so much that you can learn about hacking from textbooks, and the opportunities to test your mettle and try your skill against live real-world environments are relatively limited. And so when you make that opportunity available, it's not just helping the Army resolve vulnerabilities, but it's helping many of the great cybersecurity personnel that exists within the federal government further hone and test their skills. And that's something that we all benefit beyond just the elimination of those individual vulnerabilities.
Alex, you guys, of course, are in the business of doing these sorts of bug bounty programs for the private sector. We've only had two that I know of so far in government. Are there any noticeable ways in which the two worlds differ, running one of these in the government versus running one for a big company?
It's funny. There's a lot of misinformation on both sides of the fences here. And I'll share the biggest observation that I have taking away working with both industry and government, and whether or not it's the right observation remains to be seen. But the biggest complaint you hear from industry is about how difficult it is to get the government to move on something or to enact a program. And so you'll find that there's a significant amount of planning and discussion up front that is not the norm, particularly in Silicon Valley. And that turns off a lot of the folks out here to start with. But that's really the wrong approach, because you'll find that when you get into it, and once you get past that planning stage, that once there is a clear plan of action in place for a particular program within the federal government, they move with a level of precision and excellence on the actual execution that a lot of industry could really stand to learn from. And so once the program, all the rules and exceptions and policies are figured out up front, the programs really run incredibly smoothly once you get into it. The amount of energy and enthusiasm that you see from government and military personnel participating in these programs and executing on the program itself is really phenomenal, and you see a level of execution that doesn't exist in most industry implementations of these programs.